extend your prayers today. The Lord will help us with a little thought. And last Sunday morning, we talked about a champion. Last Sunday night, we talked about being the attributes of being a leader. And leaders are is a place that I believe all of us have an opportunity to be a leader in some form in our life. You may feel like you're just a cog in the wheel. You're just part of what's necessary. Maybe you feel like you're not a very important part. But I'm here to tell you that there's something that you can be a leader in. And there's one thing that all leaders have in common that make them very human and very normal, a common denominator, and that is they face discouragement. I'd like to go to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. We read this last Sunday night, I believe. Some of this anyway, or maybe more of it. I'd like to begin in verse 1 of chapter 30, 1 Samuel. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Now, a little bit of the background story. David and his men were, you might say, in exile. They had been running from Saul and had found a place of safety, per se, in the land of the Philistines, out of Saul's reach. And the Philistine king had given them a city, or allowed them to take over a city that they could consider home. And David and his men were had a good reputation with the Philistines at this point. Remember, David is the one that had smote Goliath. And so this is, to me, a little bit questionable setting for David and his men to be in, because he's in the Philistine territory, and that's where Goliath came from. I was reading some of what various commentators said, and it seems like that David had, I'm going to put it in my words, had maybe allowed some compromises to come into his mind and his heart and his purpose and devotion to God, because he was down here in enemy territory. All of us know if we start spending time in enemy territory, it's going to have an impact on us. If you go down and take up residence in a place that is not conducive to spirituality, your spirituality will be affected. It doesn't matter how powerful of experience you have with the Lord. If you move in with non-spiritual people, it's going to affect you. You can maybe pull the curve up, but there's going to be some negative impact. It's just hard. We want to encourage and foster spiritual growth, so let's do all we can to be in spiritual atmospheres to foster that. So David here and his men had established Ziklag as their home residence, and David and his men had been invited to go with the Philistines to fight against Saul. Now, this is where it seems like that last Sunday night I said, I don't know that I understand it all. I still don't know that I understand it all, but why David would go and join forces with the Philistines, or even be willing to accept that proposition, seems like something had been slipping in his mind. But anyway, the Philistines as a whole had said, we don't want David here. Send him back home. And when David got back, this is what he found. It's what we just read. He found that the place that they had taken up as their home city, as their home residence, had been burned. All of their families had been taken off captive. We'll read now beginning verse 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you shed so many tears that it was like the place where tears come from was dry? I don't know what you want to call that. I would say tear ducts, but that's just a tube that it gets there to the surface with. But have you ever cried so much that you just felt numb? Have you been in a place where you feel like there was so much sorrow, so much grief, so much discouragement that overwhelmed you that no more tears would come? It was just like you was out. Well, that's the way these people were. It says here that they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They said why in all that? Why did this happen? Why wasn't I here to protect my family? Why did we go down there anyway? We didn't end up, we were rejected by the rest of the Philistines, and then we got back and we're facing all of this, and just one thing after another, and it is compounded to the point that they wept and wailed and cried until they did. There's nothing else I can say. I just, like, this feels like what? The end of my emotional road. I'm just completely tapped out. And in the next verse it says, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Okay, we talked last Sunday night about David being a leader and having leadership qualities that helped him to be recognized as a leader. But here it says, David was greatly distressed. So leaders get distressed too, all right? For the people spake of stoning him. Why would they think of stoning him? Well, David had lost just as much as they had, but he was the leader. So the leader is the one that they're going to hold accountable. Have you ever, when great distress have come upon you, have you ever looked around to wonder, well, who was the leader that got us here? Well, that's what the boss said to do. I just done what I was told. I just went ahead and dug that hole and whoop. I tore that cable right in two, or I broke that gas line, or he said dig right there, and that's what I did. So it's his fault, you see? And so David was in that place of leadership. They had assimilated themselves around David, accepted him, and were following his leadership, and now everything they had that was important to them. Their houses were burned. I don't know what possessions that, or structures that was there, but all of the effort they had put into making this home, all right, was burnt up. And what hadn't been burnt up had been hauled off. And I can only imagine that there was clutter scattered all around. Pretty discouraging, right? Not just the clutter, not just the burned out structures, but my family is gone. And the leader took us on this. At the very minimum, why didn't our leader leave some of us here to kind of keep the door shut? You see? So David, maybe it's time for you to not be the leader anymore. And we don't want you to be a leader to anybody else either, so we're just going to stone you. That's what they're thinking. Maybe they even voiced those thoughts. So, David said, or it said of David, he was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I just want us to stop and think about what it said here of David. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He certainly wasn't getting any encouragement from those around him, was he? And he didn't have any place of going to get encouragement from Saul or his men. If he'd have been where they were, he would have probably been executed. If he'd have been under Saul, this was the battle that cost Saul his life. But anyway, that's another story. David, it says, encouraged himself in the Lord. So, my question for us today, and the things I want us to explore a little bit, is how did David encourage himself in the Lord? And if he could encourage himself in the Lord, can we? Because I don't feel like I'm in the same category as David, but I know that I face discouragement, and I know that you face discouragement. I know that all of us here face times. If you haven't, you will, and face a time when you feel like you've cried all your tears out and you've grieved to the point that you just feel kind of numb, and you don't hardly know where to go from where you're at, and everything looks downhill from where you're at, and you're already at a low place. It just feels like everything is caving in your emotions. That's where David was. But yet, the scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, for me, for myself, I want to know how to do that. Because I don't want to succumb to not being able to rise above that. That's, Brother David said, he was looking up in the stars looking for, he's always looking for something that looks like a V, and that reminds him of victory. All right? So when here's the thing I want us to think about. We ought to be looking for victory instead of looking for a place to be defeated. There's a lot of things that's going to make us feel defeated in life. So instead of looking for another place to be disappointed, we ought to be looking for something that would be a big V, a big victory for us. That's what we ought to be looking for. And David took the initiative, and he used the resources he had to encourage himself. So I want us to think about what he could have done to encourage himself. I'd like to turn now to the book of Lamentations. This was the Lamentations. You know, our word lament is a real close relative to this word here. And to lament means to, didn't look it up, but in off the top of my head, to lament means to feel sorrowful, to maybe recount the sad events and developments. And I would venture that all of us here has had some experience with lamenting something in your life. You may have wished you to pursued a different occupation, or maybe you wish you would have pursued something. Maybe you missed out on an opportunity that you wished you'd have capitalized on. All of us have had those cases that we have lamented something. But here in the Lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah, we read in the third chapter, beginning in verse 18, he says, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." You know, you start reading things like this and you think, just how much more can we stand? How much more can we read? This is, it feels like everything is caving in, doesn't it? "Also, when I, he hath enclosed my ways," verse 9, "he with hewn stone, he hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow." Have you ever felt like that trouble had you in its sights? Just everywhere you go, it seemed like trouble was on target, and distress and disappointment and all of those things. It says, "He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity." Have you been so discouraged that you forgot what it's like to be encouraged? Have you been discouraged long enough that you think, I don't even know what it would feel like to feel like things were kind of going my way? That's what Jeremiah, he was feeling pretty bad, if you get the picture here. He says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." You know, the secret to the enemy's success many times is get us to the point that we are so discouraged, we've cried out all of our tears, we don't have any more tears, we've lamented, we've regretted, we've wished, we've recounted to the point that we're right down, and he wants us just to perish from hope. Give up hope. I don't believe he's there for me. You know, that's a dangerous place to be, to say, I don't believe the Lord is there for me. But David was in a desperate place. I don't know how much time elapsed from the time they got there until it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't believe this was a 10-minute thing. I believe that they spent time looking around the immediate area. Lamentations of Jeremiah. He seen trouble coming. He tried to challenge people to turn around. They didn't listen to him. And he witnessed destruction himself. He was a man that saw a lot of sorrow. And here it says, "My hope is perished from the Lord." But that's not where the chapter ends. I'd like to look down in verse 41. He says here, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So Jeremiah, to me, is saying something very similar to what David said, or what is said of David. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. It said of Jeremiah here, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Let us do something that would lift up our spirits towards God. Okay? I believe that both writers, in both of these places that we're reading, are suggesting that we can take an initiative to restore courage when we're in a discouraged condition. And I want to know how to put this in practice. I want to know how to implement what David and Jeremiah seem to be communicating, or is communicated about them in these scriptures that we have written. So I'd like to turn now to Joshua, the first chapter, and notice a few verses in the book of Joshua. Try to give us an idea that it's not just man's idea, or man's imagination, or man's wishful thinking, to think that we can take an initiative to start restoring courage. Okay? So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 beginning, he says here, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord, remember that what I'm reading here, it says that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So stop and think about the setting here. Moses has been a leader, someone that they accepted by and large. He's one that God spoke to the people through. In other words, God spoke to Moses directly, and Moses then transferred that to the people. And the people had been disbelieving, rebellious. They had not wanted to follow the path that the Lord ascribed for them. And so, how many of you would like to inherit a leadership position of a group of people like that? I, for one, would not. I would think that this, you know, if everything was going smoothly and the people were all enthused and encouraged and willing to apply themselves, and somebody said, listen, I want you to be prepared when I'm gone, you take over from here. That would be one thing. But Moses did not leave Joshua with that. He left them with people that were fearful, they were disbelieving, they had lived an entire generation in adverse circumstances and conditions, and here Moses had passed, and it was going to be Joshua's job. And he said here, I want you to lead this people over into the land which I do give them. Third verse, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's a promise, isn't it? But notice what he says. Be strong and of good courage. Now, how would you like to be told to have courage? Now, I have told my children as a parent, especially when they were agitated about something and maybe I had had to discipline them, And maybe they were just disappointed because they didn't get something they wanted. I told them they had to smile. Your parents ever told you you had to smile when you was ready to scream? I imagine most of us have had that experience. It's time to put your happy face on. Got your smile on upside down. Maybe you've even been threatened with more discipline if you didn't start smiling. And here the Lord tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And Joshua is probably thinking, Lord, look at what I got on my hands. All of these people and how disruptive and disobedient they are. And you know how they didn't want to do what Moses told them to do. And here I'm the young squirt coming on. They're not going to listen to me either. But he said, be strong and of good courage. Unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So God's command to Joshua was to be of a good courage. You're going to have to do something, Joshua. You can't enter into this place of leading this group of people all discouraged. You're going to have to be of good courage. They're going to have to see someone that's willing to face what life has dealt and face it with courage. You know, there's other people looking on at us. Might just be our immediate family. Might be our spouse. It might be our children. It might be the neighbor next door. It might be the congregation that's looking on and they're wondering, well, how are they going to do it? And I'm going to tell you, we've all had those places where we've been like David. We've had those places where we've been like Jeremiah. And we need to know how to lift up our heart. We need to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because if we don't know the secret of how to do that, we're not going to be successful. You know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, I would say there's a place that people go to that can't rise above discouragement. You know, the states used to operate those kind of hospitals. They called them mental hospitals. But we don't do that today. Today, they just give them medication. Today, there's lots of people that have not learned how to rise above discouragement and disappointment in this life. And the medical field is giving them medication. And we will sometimes even hear people referred to as taking happy pills. Why? Because they're faced with discouragement. They're faced with disappointment to the point that they don't know what to do. They're down at the, they've cried all their tears. They've questioned all, everything. Why has this happened and why has that happened? So they get to the point that they go to seek professional help, and professional help says, you need a happy pill. Well, today I want to tell you that there's help in the Lord. And I want to tell you one of the little secrets I feel like that'll help us be encouraged and to rise above. You know how the enemy comes along and he wants us to start remembering all of our failures? And it seems like the failures and disappointments just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you can remember one failure, then 10 more will come right behind it. And before you know it, you've got so many failures and disappointments stacked up that you feel like that's all your life is full of. But you know, you don't have to dwell on that. And here's something that we need to start doing. When we recognize we're in this place like David, and like Jeremiah, and maybe even Joshua, and maybe we realize there's people looking on me, and they're expecting me to have courage, I want to tell you what you need to start doing. You need to start asking the Lord to help you recount the things that you've done right. What have you done right? When have you been able to resist temptation? You know, Brother Rob mentioned earlier that the enemy had tried to come on him, bring some flashbacks of old life and not living for the Lord. And he was able to call out on the Lord. And the Lord fixed it. He took all that away. That's a point of victory. That's where I was able to resist, and the Lord gave me some victory. That's a victory we ought to be looking for. So when all this discouragement and despondency, no, it's not. It doesn't just completely take it all away, but we've got to know where do we start. Because we can be in a place that we're so low that we don't know how this is ever going to change. Well, it's not maybe going to change overnight, but I believe we got to start somewheres. Did you make a good decision when you said, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to push through whatever I feel like right now and I'm going to make it to service this morning? You know, when you did that, that's a good decision. And that's something you can point yourself to and say, that was the right thing to do. And you know, when you have faced a temptation and you didn't yield to that temptation, you can point to that and say, that was an opportunity I had to do wrong and I didn't do wrong. That was the right thing to do, you see. And when you come to the place that I know that maybe my classmates or maybe my coworkers or someone else thought I should have done something different, but I made this decision because I wanted to be at peace with the Lord. I wanted it to be honest. I wanted it to be upright. I knew I couldn't do what they were suggesting to do. I know I made the right decision. That's something you can start encouraging yourself with. I know I made the right decision. I know I made the right decision not to go sneak around and do the things that was maybe related to some old habit. I know that's the right decision. That should be a place to start encouraging yourself. Ask God to help you start remembering those things that you did right. Because the devil will be real quick to come around and help you remember all of your mistakes. And he will crush you lower and lower and lower and lower until if he can get you to the point that you say, I just don't believe anymore. That's what he's wanting to do. But right in those times when you're feeling pushed down more and more and more, it's a time to say, Lord, help me start thinking about the things I've done right. Help me start remembering the decisions I've made. I have to look back many times and think, I sure wish things would be different in this area or that area. And it may be out of my control, but I can look back and say, I don't know what else I could have done different. I believe that was the right thing for me to do at that time. Lord, help me to have courage to face the future. I have to remember, it was the right thing for me to do. I remember, I've told this several times, so I'll just share it again. I remember as a young man making all these decisions of where I'm going to go in life. And I had the opportunities to go, and maybe I did have an opportunity to go for further education in another place. And I felt like I was very vulnerable in my soul, very vulnerable in my spiritual life. And I told the Lord, Lord, I want to be saved. I'm going to make a decision not to go where I'd already made commitment to go, because I was fearful for my soul's sake. And I look back now and I think, you know, I know that I've made my share of mistakes, and I know I haven't done everything perfectly right, but I think that was the right choice for me to make. I can anchor on that, and I can start building on that. You made a decision to maybe make a move. Maybe you moved a long ways away from what was home. Maybe you made a decision to incline your heart towards the Lord. Those were right choices if they were for your spiritual welfare. Count the missed opportunities for sin. You ever missed an opportunity to sin? You know what I'm talking about? There's opportunities all around here to commit sin. And when you pass on by that, that was a success. You can look on that and say, I missed that opportunity for sin. That was the right thing for me to do. I can be encouraged. You ever passed an opportunity for temptation? You know, there's lots of advertisements out there. And it's not just on the billboards on the side of the road anymore. It's on your cell phone. There's temptations, advertisements for temptations that just continually pop up. Well, every one of those you pass is a victory. Every one of those is something you ought to be able to encourage yourself with. I didn't yield to that. I didn't yield to that temptation. I didn't yield to that vice. I didn't yield to that sin. Start encouraging. You got to start somewheres. Have you ever stopped to think how encouraging it is to think about you successfully telling the devil no? I just told him no. I'm not going to harbor that thought. I'm not going to harbor those kind of feelings. I'm not going to allow that any place in my life. That's success. This is part of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. I refuse to accept that. You can't put that on me. I know the Lord loves me. I know that He has the best in mind for me. I'm just not going to harbor that tempting thought. All right? What about the things that used to be a temptation to you? The things that you just about couldn't pass up. I've witnessed people that were addicted to things. Things that I would consider sinful. I've witnessed them going to efforts that were almost unimaginable to be able to gratify something that was defiling their bodies. It could be deception. It could be physical, strenuous things. people that take all kinds of risk to steal just so they can satisfy some kind of craving. Maybe some of you have been there. Think about the success it is. Now, I wouldn't think about doing that. I wouldn't think about going down that path. So I want us to learn the fundamentals. How are you going to encourage yourself in the Lord? It's not like opening some little trap door back here and courage popping out. No, it's more than that. It's you taking the initiative to start recounting the things that you've done right for your soul and your spirit. When you realize you're discouraged, you realize things are pressing down, what's something you've done that's right? What's something that you've done that is the right choice? When is the last time that you told the enemy, no, thank you, I'm not interested in that anymore? It's different now. That's a victory point. And start building on that. The times that you maybe, like we said earlier, that you went to service anyway. You know, it's the best time to come. If you feel discouraged, it's the best place to come, is to come to service. There's going to be somebody that's going to be able to share something that'll be encouraging to us in our particular situation. So I just want to challenge you all this morning, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling down and out, if you feel like that everything has turned against you and your house has been burned like David and his men, we have to be willing to take the initiative to encourage ourselves. We can't always depend on someone else to encourage us. But how does, stop and think about this. How does somebody encourage you? What do they say? They give you a compliment, or they start pointing out the things that you've done what? That you've done right. You know, what if nobody's there to tell you? Well, sister, didn't you do this that was right? Didn't you do that that was right? You know, what if there's no one else there? Maybe you have to do that for yourself. I'm not talking about being self-sufficient, but you know, it says that David encouraged himself. Jeremiah said, I'll lift up my heart to the Lord. God told Joshua, you be strong and of good courage. I wonder how many more was right there with Joshua. We only know of two men that was very courageous out of however many million there were. Just Joshua and Caleb. I hope he had some more that was on the same page, but that's pretty bad odds. I think we got it better now. But we have to take the initiative. I'm going to start dwelling on the things that I know was right. I know it. Sometimes we get into perplexing situations in life and we say, I don't even know where to go. Well, we have to start look back how we got here. Did we make right choices getting to this place? If we didn't, then we need to turn and change. But if we've made some right choices and there's been other factors, Lord, help us to encourage ourselves. I trust this makes sense to you this morning. I trust you'll be encouraged. I want you to take the initiatives to start looking for the things that you've done right. The enemy will be careful to point out all the things you've done wrong. But take the initiative to start looking for the things that you've done right. Encourage yourself. And I believe the Lord will bless you. You pray for me.